was a floor nurse, but and I love it. So it's been challenging this past couple months, just learning the new job, and my brain is tired every night when I go to bed because I've learned something new every single day. But it's wonderful. I love it. So I have two children that have gone through ASD. One's a graduate of Herndon Simmons now, and one's a junior at Cooper.
Fantastic. So let's start with who's not chewing. So we're going to start on this side because Brianna's chewing. So there you go. We'll go nice. You didn't take a bite, so you get to go first. Tell us who you are, what you do, and what makes you interested about being on the Shack. And meanwhile, Angela will think of something for me to have to say so that I get to be put on the spot because turnabout's fair play. What makes you want to be on the Shack?
I'm Taylor Tidmore. I'm a ear, nose, and throat doctor here in town. So I've been Abilene for 15 years. This is my second year on this committee. We have four kids, three who are still in AISD, one that graduated a couple of years ago. And kind of same thing. I mean, we love AISD. We've had a great experience.
Thank you. All right.
My name is Megan Roth. I have been in Abilene since 2015, but my husband was born and raised here. I was originally a neuroscientist, and then I switched to research administration, so I help other people with the research. I worked for ACU originally for about 7 years, and then now I'm an independent consultant, and I help mostly with temp services for universities across the country, helping them submit grant proposals and helping them manage their portfolios when they receive grant awards. And in my spare time that I have lots of, I am a team coach at Gymnastic Sports Center, and I have two kids. I have a fifth grader who's at the McMurray Center for Innovation, and a third grader who's at Bowie. And when Tina Jones at Bowie Vaughan told me to do this, I thought it was a good fit.
So. That's awesome. Thank you.
I'm Julie Eisenhower. This is my first meeting. I spent probably talk about 5 or 6 years for AISD after moving to Abilene. And then right as COVID hit, I moved over to ACU. So I've always been in science education. I have two kids in the district, one at Taylor in first grade and one at Craig in sixth grade. He was at CFI last year. Mm-hmm. And I was also asked to apply to the committee.
Dr. Gardner, who pulls heavy cards, doesn't she?
Well, she's a hard woman to
She is.
And I adore her. But I do care deeply about these topics. So I think not just for my own children, but for our whole community, I think it's super important. parents, and so we see some of the some certain aspects of what I believe are outcomes of maybe positive or negative health education in all ways. So I think that I just think it's really important for our whole community to value this.
Are you related to Larry and Donald?
I am, and I've heard a lot. We know each other, but
they
we don't
have,
know
they
each
have
other.
A tea. Like,
in good ways. Like, yeah. Well, Megan will lie.
All right. That's good. Wait till you hear Andy's story.
Andy Dillard. This is year 4 with Abilene ISD, year 2 with the SHAC committee. Last year, I was the facilitator for health and phys ed, K through 12, but missed the kids a lot, and I made the choice to go back to a campus.
And no one could do that job just as well, so we just don't have that job anymore.
So I
just so you know,
I still oversee. I'm the lead health and PE teacher for elementary, and so that's my new role. And then PE and health are well connected with the SHAC committee, and so I'm here.
And Andy was our boys' human sexuality instructor last year for seventh grade, so he taught all of our seventh grade boys the curriculum that has been adopted by the board. Mm-hmm. All right. Do you have my thing that I have to say yet? Figured
just
out?
Just tell us about yourself. I'm not going to give you anything hard.
Okay.
Because I'm not selective.
Oh. Oh, that'll pay me back. Okay. I'll bring you a tea tomorrow.
Okay.
So I'm Kimberly Brumley. I'm the executive director for federal programs. And I finally found where in the policy it says that I have to be like involved in SHAC. That was my goal last year. I was like, I just got told, you have this job, you're in, you have to be on the SHAC. I'm like, how is that a logical connection? But it's because of there are about 10 different policies in our board policy that mention some responsibility of the Student Health and Wellness Council. And so, you know, when you look through all of those, sometimes it's that SHAC's going to give input. Sometimes it's going to be that SHAC has to advise the board. Sometimes it's that we develop a policy or things like, you know, so it varies by topic, and Angela's going to talk about that some tonight. But on the very last policy I read, I got to the very last one, and it says the district's wellness plan is supposed to be developed, and it gives all the rules, and it says that the person in charge of federal programs for the district is going to be in charge of making sure that plan gets written and reviewed on timely and all that kind of stuff. And I was like, oh, so this one part is what got me involved in all of the parts. But it's an exciting opportunity to, like Taylor, to give back to the community. I mean, just working for Abilene ISD is a gift to the community. I think all of us who work here feel like we're called to serve and to do what's right for Abilene's kids and families. I have 2 girls at Abilene High, a freshman and a sophomore. And one of my sophomores is actually quite passionate about student mental health, teen mental health. That she's working on her Girl Scout Gold Award with that topic in mind, and looking to advocate for our young people in high school to have access to the same teen mental health first aid training, or the teen version of what a lot of our staff have been trained in, youth mental health first aid. You know, she's an athletic trainer. We make sure our trainers take CPR and first aid from the American Red Cross, and yet we don't help our kids be prepared to recognize signs and symptoms and the need for care in others. It doesn't make them a psychologist or psychiatrist any more than Red Cross training makes them an orthopedic surgeon, but it does help them see need in a more accurate way and to call on trained adults for help. And so that's a little family passion that's kind of coming up right now, that's very much connected to the work of this committee.
It's me, huh?
Yeah, it's you, your turn.
I'm Corey Cabes. I have a background in community health. That's my undergrad degree from Texas Women's. I really wanted to be a nurse, but I'm real terrible at math and science. And so I stopped crying in chemistry and switched to health ed. And so I knew I wanted to help people, you know, and I somehow, you know, found that through ministry. I'm the associate rector at the Church of the Heavenly Rest, just down the road, the castle-looking church. But I think I take that that lens of seeing, you know, community health, seeing wellness as something really all-encompassing. So when I'm planning formation programs, when I'm meeting with folks for counseling, you know, all those kind of things, when I'm doing grief work, I'm looking at the whole person, you know, body, mind, spirit. And so, you know, Kimberly shared this opportunity with me, but I have a senior at Abilene High. I have a son that's in college, Angelo State. And this community has just been really, really good to me. The school system has been wonderful to my daughter. The kids have been great. The educators, I mean, she cannot, gosh, Mr. Pace, if you know who Mr. Pace is, that is my daughter's favorite teacher. And so I thought if there was any way, you know, I could give back and support the good work, you know, I wanted to be a part of that. When I was in Austin, when I was going to seminary, for 3 years I served on a board called MAC Cares, and it originated through McCallum High School, so there's the MAC part of that. But they pulled people like me and social workers with the school and counselors and, you know, parents and teachers and volunteers, and we all got together and just tried to help support kids that, you know, could really fall through the cracks. And one thing we were really proud of was at McCallum particularly, and I know they've continued this at other schools, but we were able to set up a room that's sort of a space for kids that are really struggling, having a mental health crisis. And so, you know, from like the lighting all the way down to the flooring and the seating, that was really taken into consideration to create a safe space for a moment in time where a kid really needed to be cared for or was waiting for some, you know, lots of layers of care. So I'm really passionate about mental health and grief work and stuff kids are going through. So, and those that, that love and support them. So that's why I'm here.
Mm-hmm. I'm Teresa Bentel. I'm a community relations representative with AmeriGroup, which is Medicaid Managed Care. So we serve families that receive Medicaid, and much of Abilene ISD children receive either Medicaid or CHIP. So I'm kind of a voice for them. I hear what parents say, and it's a different atmosphere than what they may say to their school, their teacher, or it's where somebody that's always there to help them, and they see us as on their side. And also sometimes I can hear what may not be realistic for people that have no money, literally no money. And then both my kiddos went all the way through Abilene ISD from kindergarten through 12th, and my oldest has already graduated from Hardin-Simmons, and my daughter is fourth year at ACU, but they are both in education, so that's, and they want to teach in Abilene, of course.
Yay.
My name is Stephen Proct, and I'm here representing the STAR program and the Texas Health Steps. We are actually the enrollment broker for Health and Human Services, and we work with the health plans, which Teresa is one of them, in the dental plans. And a large part of the population that we work with to do enrollments into medical and dental plans are children. And I've always been passionate about it. Right out of college, I worked at Head Start for about 12 years. So I've always kind of, I enjoy it. I enjoy hearing this side of it because, you know, you hear a bunch of other things and different points of view. And so, anyway, that's kind of my connection.
Beautiful. Hello, my name is Brianna Johnson, and this is my first time. Mm-hmm. My background is in social work. I used to do case management for children in foster care, and I also used to do licensing for daycares and after school programs. So with that being said, I'm still in the social work field, but now I switched over. I'm actually at the VA now, so I'm helping with veterans. But children have always been my passion. I miss it dearly. I've told them about it all the time. And I know that if we can start and when they're young and get them when they are in school, when they're already learning, I've seen how it can help them later on in their lives. I've been able to see the different growth patterns through my work, through my experience, and I just know the importance of learning about healthy relationships, learning about healthy eating lifestyles, and how it can really play a major role in, you know, everyone's life, and how if we start young, it helps instill it to them when they're older. So it's my passion, and when she told me about it, I was like, oh, that sounds interesting. I'm excited to join. So I'm excited to learn and to be a part of something that's going to really impact children.
Fantastic. So you heard a lot of people say, you know, they heard by word of mouth about the opportunity. We shared widespread with the community through our social media at the district level and straight out to families and said, hey, we've, you know, got this opportunity, because the way the board policy reads, it kind of addresses membership in Shack in two chunks. It says, first of all, that the board must appoint at least 5 members and that the majority of those have to be non-employee parents of students enrolled in the district. And then it goes on to say the board can also appoint people from all these other roles, and then includes, you know, brings to mind people that are in the room, people from healthcare, people from mental health services, clergy, you know, educators. It talks about all these different groups. So the way it appears that past committees were formed is they're even the report that's been turned into the board said, here are the five people, 3 of them being non-employee parents. And then here are all the other people, almost all of them either employees or some of them non-employee parents. But for the most part, the committee was not heavily made up of non-employee parents. And the goal of the Shack is to make sure that the perspectives of the larger community are represented in the policies and advice that we provide. So with that in mind, I approached composition of this year's Shack a little differently, to say it's not really this and then all these others, because in effect, we are almost erasing the voice of the non-employee parent. And instead to say, we want to include more non-employee parent voices on the committee. So we looked at those who shared their interest, and then where we had holes still in the non-employee parent role, then we reached out using that guidance from the policy of all the other perspectives to say, hey, from higher ed, from the ministry, from other places, who else could we say, hey, not sure if you saw this or not, really would like you to take a look at it and see if it's something that speaks to you. I don't know that anybody's arm got twisted, although I agree it's very hard to say no to Ketta. But but I appreciate your time. We meet 4 times over the course of the year. You have those dates and times. We'll meet in this room. There's only 1 person missing tonight, and that is Lizzie Hollingsworth. She's a physician's assistant. And last year, she was a recent graduate of Hardin-Simmons program, and she was our girls instructor for human sexuality and wellness. She's now on the staff with Dr. Erin Gardner. And she got late word last week that she was going to be able to go to a training she's been waiting months to get into. And it took her out of pocket this afternoon. So she was like, oh, can I have the recording? I will give you my input, you know, all the things. So we will catch up with Lizzie, and you will be excited to meet her, I'm sure, next time we're together in November. But that means that now I have to find both a boys and a girls instructor for health ed this year. So that's going to be super fun to get that done this fall. All right. So next up on our agenda is the election of officers. So the policy states that one of the non-employee parents must be the chair or co-chair of this committee. So in the past, it's usually been a non-employee parent, and then Linda Langston, our director of health services, was the co-chair, and so they had that team kind of together that helped run things. So all you non-employee parents Who would like to? Here's the role of the co-chair. We put the agenda together. We talk to you ahead of time. You walk us through the agenda. We'll designate someone to take minutes. We have a recording to support that, the taking of minutes. You get the opportunity to look at that ahead of time, say, hey, do you think we caught everything? That kind of thing. It's not, there's not a whole lot of outside work involved in that. It is really more of a job that happens here. But if you are a person comfortable with shepherding the work of a group, calling time when our time is up, that kind of thing, this is the job for you. So, anybody feeling passionate about doing that? If not, we put all your names in a bucket and we should draw one in there. Sorry. No, that's not what we do. But we do have to have one. We can push that to the end and you can think about it.
I can do it.
All right. Megan Roth. Anybody else want to duke her out for it? We can scissors, rocks, paper, vote.
I second her.
Okay. Because you've heard Megan can do everything, right? In a good way. Okay. All right. So we, and then Angela, you feel like being
the co-chair?
Yes. Very good. So we have our co-chairs. And then while the policy doesn't speak to a secretary, the past committees have always elected a secretary that kind of types up the minutes and all that kind of stuff. So that's out there if that's somebody's jam. You give you wait time.
I've already done it.
There you go.
Years, so I pass.
You pass.
Yes. Okay. I think I've had 4 years of secretary already.
You don't. Then you have done your duty.
Okay. And president, vice president, but
all the things.
I
all right. Brianna Johnson, very good. So what we'll do is you've got the agenda, you're making your own notes, and then we'll share the recording with you afterwards. And if you need you want some help on how much or how little is part of, I mean, minutes is not a transcript. So if you need some guidance on how much or how little, then I'm happy to be your backup on that. All right. So the last little thing we have to form today, thank you for sharing your agenda. We just made the agenda, but I'll count properly next time, is to form what's called the Physical Education Subcommittee. So the policy also says that we have to have a subcommittee that will address physical education specifically. We're not sure yet what all those responsibilities will be, and it may be something that happens even within a meeting, because I discovered today as I was telling Angela that our wellness plan says that we have to have a staff wellness subcommittee. And that wasn't in any of the prior agendas to form this subcommittee. You know, I was like, So we could do something like everybody's gonna be on one subcommittee or the other and kind of divide up and say, which one would you like to do, physical education or staff wellness? And you could pick. Does that feel? And we could make sure that that work happens within the structure of our regular time instead of addition. Does that feel doable?
I didn't get that.
I wasn't asking you. You know, she's often confused when I ask questions. So I think what we could do is just ring the room and tell us which one of those two topics is the one that you prefer. So can we start with Elizabeth?
Well, I was actually going to say I'm totally fine with doing either one.
Okay.
So I don't know.
So you can be part of our balancing out.
Yeah, I don't really have a preference.
All right.
PE is fun.
Taylor? PE. All right. Look at you twisting arms there, Andy. Megan?
PE.
Julie?
I can do either.
Okay. Andy?
You know my
I think Andy would do PE. Corey?
Staff wellness.
Angela?
I'll do staff.
Either one.
Teresa? Stephen?
Either one.
Okay. Brianna?
I'll do staff wellness.
Okay. All right. I will follow up with Lizzie and find out which she wants, and then we'll just send you an email saying, congratulations, you're on whichever committee, okay? And we'll try to balance things out. Nice to get we'll have a guy, at least a guy on each. So, Stephen, I think we can go ahead and tell you, you're going to go on staff wellness, and that puts a male perspective on staff while we have our other two guys on PE. Then we'll balance everything out over the course of kind of deciding after we know what Lizzie's is. And that finishes my chunk, my first chunk of the agenda, and Angela gets the next piece.
Okay, so first we're going to go over the annual responsibilities page that was handed out. Kimberly has done lots of research and lots of reading on the shalls and the legal...
seriously, look at this. These are the policies.
It's a big notebook that she has there. So we've kind of went through the policies and condensed to these bullet points here. So for the BDF legal, which is for our school board, it says that we shall establish a physical activity and fitness planning subcommittee, which is what we're working on halfway today. We'll get that finished up, to consider issues relating to student physical activity and fitness and make policy recommendations to increase physical activity and improve fitness among students. So just recommendations of what we see need to be done there. And then also, we shall submit to the board at least annually a written report that includes the recommendations concerning the health curriculum or instruction or related matters that are not previously submitted. So if there's other things that come up during our year of meeting, then we'll turn in those recommendations. Any suggested modifications to the SHAC, to a SHAC recommendation previously submitted to the board, a detailed explanation of the SHAC's activities since the last written report, and any recommendations made by the Physical Activity and Fitness Subcommittee. So the written report will present in May to Dr. Young and the board. And then the periodic responsibilities, these are the things that we may be asked to do as assist in the district in ensuring that the local community values are reflected in the district's health education instruction by recommending and...
and there's a long list.
There's a very long list of these, and we, at the end, kind of combined the wording on some of them. So... but they go over health education, physical and mental concerns, physical education and activity, nutrition services, parental involvement, substance abuse prevention, school health services, including mental health, comprehensive school counseling program, safe in school environment, employee wellness, which is new that you've discovered in reading these. Appropriate grade levels for human sexuality instruction, joint use agreements or strategies to coordinate with community organizations or agencies, strategies to increase parental awareness on risky behaviors such as suicide risk, behavior concerns, mental health concerns, appropriate grade levels and curriculum for instruction regarding opioid addiction and abuse and methods for administering opioid antagonist, and that has been added to our state.
Mm-hmm. We had new laws about
that
this
year. We have new laws about that we're doing this year. Appropriate grade levels for instructions regarding child abuse, family violence, dating violence, sex trafficking, et cetera, that's on there. Importance of daily recess for elementary students, and I believe the SHAC addressed that last year and perhaps the year before did a study about that. Additionally, we can advise the board as requested if they ask for instruction regarding to the human sexuality, sexually transmitted diseases, HIV, acquired and AIDS. Advise the board on any course materials relating to the prevention of child abuse, family violence, dating violence, sex trafficking, convenes at the direction of the board to make recommendations regarding curriculum materials. So if the board asks us to convene, that's when we would do that. So, and then we will develop a wellness plan to implement the district's nutrition guidelines and goals. And that plan is reviewed and revised on a regular basis.
Yeah, and the policy doesn't specify how often necessarily in our board adopted policy, so that's one of the things that we're actually going to chat about a little later in our agenda today. It's like, what kind of a cycle do we want to put on that? policy review.
And then the letter that's also attached is what was presented by Linda Langston at the end of last year, or written by her, and then I think Dr. Gardeno presented it to the board. So, and it just gives a summary of what happened last year, the dates that the SHAC met, and the different things that they went over last year. So I'll let you read that on your own without me reading it to you.
So one of the reasons we wanted to bring forward to you a summary of what the policies say about the role of SHAC, and then what was accomplished or focused on by the committee last year, and then what we're going to talk about next, which is do an overview of the district's wellness plan, is that we didn't want to decide what your agenda is for the year. So we thought with new people, the first thing we need to do is make sure that we kind of set the stage for these are all the kind of areas that SHAC has influence and purview, but also give you the opportunity to engage with some of these materials. You've got some of our local law there, board policy. You've got what happened last year, and then we're going to look at the wellness plan. You're going to find in your handouts, it's probably the very last thing you have. There are two tables on a sheet of paper. One of them says, looks like this, right? So one part of it says these are the required parts of the wellness plan. Our board policy says these five things have to be in our wellness plan. But I didn't go in and say, okay, well, here's where it is and here's what it says. I mean, like you're each going to have some thoughts about is what it says adequate or not? Do you feel like it's up to date and the most current information or not? Do you feel like there's maybe a source that we've not considered as one that might be important to inform this part of the plan? And then at the bottom, you're going to see a table that shows the months that we have yet to meet, November, February, and April. And a couple of topics Angela and I thought might be particularly interesting to you and or timely to discuss. But what we'd like to do with the rest of our time today, and we have about 25 minutes left, is to give you some time either in like partners to look through the documents and look for where these five required elements are and what does it say? What kind of thoughts and ideas do you have about that? We'd actually like to have this piece of paper back at the end because we're going to take this and use it to help build your agendas for the rest of the three meetings. So like something that you'd like, if you have a topic that you would like to discuss and you have an idea about when you'd like to fit it in, where you think it fits, you can certainly fill in the box. Up here, your comments or questions are very valuable because at the point that we review the plan, which we have to do, right, then we want to make sure that it's the best plan for our community. And you've listened to us talk pretty much enough for tonight. So we want to turn it into more of a hands-on and communicative time where your thoughts and ideas come in. So if you'll have that page, that page you're going to submit, and then your wellness plan out together, that's what we're going to spend the rest of the time doing. We're just going to partner up and kind of tackle our way through it. So the plan has a nice little table of contents. You're going to see on the front, you know, it was written in 2017. That was a long time ago in terms of a wellness plan. And there may be information that's more current than this, because what we're seeing is that the reviews in 18, 19, 22, and 23, of course, a gap in 20 probably was COVID related, because this usually would be a spring thing. Not sure what happened in 21. But the wellness policy of the district is supposed to be reviewed triennially. And then the plan is supposed to be how we're going to implement the policy. I haven't found the wellness policy yet. So what I have is a wellness plan. And as I was looking at all things considered, I felt like it's probably time for us to give it a good look and not just a couple of people, but that the whole committee probably needs to have a good look at this because it seems to maybe have been last looked at by the entire SHAC in 2017.
When I, is that when Shaq started? Because that when I was looking back, was it way before?
Teresa.
Okay, because that's all.
Teresa's institutional memory for Shaq.
The state did not require Shaqs by all the school districts until recently.
Oh, okay.
But we've had a Shaq
for a while. Long time. So the 2017 is the most recent that's on the website.
Yeah, on the website.
So that's what.
Yeah, she didn't have to post it.
She didn't.
Yeah.
So 2017 is when that started.
Okay.
Gotcha. Okay, that makes sense.
Yeah, please.
This is a little bit at the back of this letter.
Mm-hmm.
When I was reading ahead of time, I just noticed a statement on the top of the back that it was a recommendation that research be done into the law about students opting in and opting out.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know a follow-up was done?
Yes. When Dr. Gardino presented to the board, the policy and the law both say that the parent has to have that the presumption is opt out, and they have to in writing opt in to all or parts of it. So we give them the opportunity to choose specific lessons or to say all. The question that was coming up from the campuses and Andy, you know, after he reported data on participation and all of this, is that with a middle school student sending home a paper that says, my child's going to participate in human sexuality class, is never going to see the light of day once it leaves the campus. And so the question from the Shaq was, could we require every kid to turn something in? And it could say, no, my child's not going to participate. Or it could say, yes, my child will. But the Shaq was recommending that we do that. The law doesn't require that. And so when Dr. Gardino presented it to the board, she presented the findings of our recommendation. Does the law allow for that? It doesn't prohibit it, but she was not presenting, and so this is what we're going to do from now on. We found that at Mann Middle School, for example, they looked at all their kids who had not returned a paper, and they made contacts to the home. And they had a 90-something percent participation rate, because once they called the homes, the parents were like, oh, yeah, my kid's going to go to the class. You know, so they did verbal permissioning. So, and that was part of why they said, could we not have a paper that's a yes or a no? Because we parents should be the one to decide that, not kids. So I think it's, if that is something that that this committee would like us to take back and explore again to see, could our letter be adjusted to be an everybody returns? It's still a yes or a no. You still have to opt in. You're not going to go to the class. If your parent says no, you're not going to go to the class. Mm-hmm. But to make sure that there is a response from every family was kind of the question we were really asking.
And perhaps if the school can offer an incentive to the child to return the form. I know my
yeah,
kids,
just to return the form.
If
yeah.
they get like buoy bucks for bringing a paper back the mm-hmm. next day, it is in my face as soon as they walk
yeah,
in the door.
Yeah, for sure.
Right?
Right.
Now, middle school kids, the incentives might be a little different, but
I heard some middle school administrators saying that a drop the lowest grade pass was their biggest motivator for getting things
yeah.
back.
Yeah.
That they could turn it into any class and it would drop their lowest, not test grade, but the lowest mm-hmm. daily grade or a class assignment. They could, you know, that would help their average. That was interesting. I was like, I have to make sure that doesn't break any rule, but it seemed like an incentive. I have a kid that would have gone for that, you know.
Yeah. And when was the form sent out?
The form goes out a certain number. I think it's no later than 2 weeks before, 14 days before the first day of instruction. It has to be the only thing that goes out. It can't be
yeah.
combined with other things.
Okay.
So it has to go by itself, and that's one of those. We do announce that the education happens in our handbook and
mm-hmm.
things like that, but the actual permission form by law has to be the only thing that goes out, not combined with other things,
mm-hmm.
and a certain number of days before. We followed up with phone calls to the homes of like a district wide
yeah.
call out to the homes of every seventh grade student to let families know the forms were coming, so that they could ask. And we included in the message, if you need a copy of the form, here's where you go to get it, just to kind of circumvent the I ain't get one
yeah.
kind of explanation that we might have heard. So we are taking some proactive steps to increase the likelihood that the form makes it to the home.
Because I think there's a lot of momentum at the beginning of school. You want to do all
sure.
the things you need to do so your kid can go to school. And so if this could be a separate form, yep. but somehow part of the whole registration. But see, does that kind
the
of
the law
get,
limits yeah. us? Yeah, I mean, even if you did it then, you would have to do it again.
Right.
On its own.
Yes.
At the time yeah. of instruction.
Gotcha.
Yeah. And that's part of the actual law is House Bill 1525 mm-hmm. from September of, or from 2001, the 2001 legislative session. All right. So, two, three. Or do you like that? Partner up with somebody that's near you. Take a look through the policy. See if you can find the five elements. I haven't done that task myself yet. See if you, yeah, you bet. I have one here, and I bet we can come up with some more. See what you can find. Here we go.